Yesterday I introduced the Sefer Halichos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And one thing I just wanted to point out before we get into the actual halachos brought in the Sefer, there's a challenge in codifying things that pertain to interpersonal relationships, and I think it could be understood by two Gemaras that complement each other. One Gemara tells us that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of baseless hatred. So it certainly tells us the importance of discussing interpersonal relationships. So another Gemara in Bava Metzia that says that Yerushalayim was destroyed because people sought out Din Torah, that when they had a conflict with someone else, so they wanted to know exactly what the law was without budging one inch. And the Gemara says that, in fact, the proper approach is to be lifting Mishuras Hadin. Sometimes we have to compromise a little bit, and we have to go a little bit beyond the letter of the law in order to preserve Shalom. Tosfos says, didn't the Gemara and Yoma say that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam? And both were the cause of the destruction in the Beis HaMikdash. And really, it's the same... Yeah, go ahead.
Two things are not contradictory.
Exactly. They're really the same thing. It's not even that they're not contradictory. They're really the same thing. That sometimes when you have a situation, so it's specifically hatred that drives somebody to say that that I'm not going to compromise one bit. I'm going to stick to my guns, and how I will collect every last penny that I'm owed in a situation. Have a love for another Jew is to recognize, on the one hand, that perhaps you're owed in a particular situation, or there's something you expect, or maybe you're hurt in a particular circumstance, but also to be forgiving. One more thing, so that was my own ha'ara. One more thing that refutes notes here is that there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Umatza chen v'seichel tov b'nei Elokim v'adam." So it's something we say in Birkas HaMazon, that a person's supposed to find favor in both the eyes of Hashem and a human being. And that seems to be not so simple of an obligation, because what happens when your obligation towards God conflict with your interpersonal obligations? And he says that somebody who's truly a Yerei Shamayim, on the one hand, is not going to compromise one iota on halacha, and at the same time knows how to conduct himself in a way that he's fulfilling drachah darchei noam v'chol nisivosei shalom, that he's acting in a way that he's not using halacha to hurt another human being. Maybe sometimes there is a little bit of conflict, but we do have this obligation to uphold both. So with that said, he goes through a number of things that are specifically related to avodas Hashem, where we have to be concerned about our interpersonal conduct. So hashkamas haboker, when it comes to our conduct in the morning, hamashkim kum kshibnei habayis ushcheni madayin namim eshnasam. Let's say somebody gets up early in the morning, and there are people in the home who are still sleeping. There are neighbors who are sleeping. Like, even if you live in an apartment building, when you walk by, what kind of noise are you making? It's forbidden, not just not that it's not nice. It's forbidden in al pi halacha to cause other people to wake up before it's appropriate for them to wake up. Even if somebody is on their way to davening and to learning Torah and they're doing it for a mitzvah, you're still not allowed to do that in a way that interferes with somebody else's sleep.
Exactly.
Don't slam doors, and within apartment, if there are other people who are sleeping, so to try to do so quietly to avoid turning on lights, if it's possible, all these things are important. You get Esa Kim Lir Open Adam once it's time for other people to get up. And you call him on Olam Milakum. After Marish Ma'at, but often Makuba, Vavadai, Im Histame Rosha, Alul Hafriyam. So once it's a normal time for people to get up, so you can't prevent somebody else from getting up. And maybe he'll cause a little bit of noise. Again, hopefully he's going to minimize it to whatever extent possible, but as long as it's within reason, once it's a normal time to wake up, so then the person has a right to do what's within reason. But let's say you're getting up for slichos time, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to shul at 5:40, whatever it is, so person has to be extremely careful there. Beis hayashen becheder im acherim, somebody who's sleeping in a room with other people. Vekumo notel yado v'mayim sheiniach la'atzmo afshem marish me'at enachim yicholim lakev al yado. So if somebody's sleeping in another room with others and they're doing tilas yadayim, so maybe it'll cause a little bit of noise, but that's a reasonable amount, and one shouldn't prevent somebody else from doing tilas yadayim. And maybe not to slam the coast, but if the water makes a little noise, so that's reasonable. Achen yishahora she'en lo ligram gezel sheina al yidei chumraso. V'adek she'alach lishon achrei chatos halayla lo yaniach mayim liyad mitaso be'im yigram mishum kach nezek lachem. Still important not to cause a gezel sheina, to not rob sleep from others, especially if you're doing so in a fashion that's a chumra. So for example, if you're placing water next to your bed, which is a little bit of a chumrah, and you know, because you're going to sleep late, but be careful not to wake up other people. Gimel chaverim hayishenim yachad umanichim laatzma mayim lentilas shacharis harishonim shenatlu b'midas atzorech imalu mayim acherim l'tzorech chaverim shetem natlu. So if you have another people sleeping in a room, and again, if they're makpid to have the nagel vaser by their bed, so the person who goes first, so he should fill up the water for everybody else who needs it. So even if you're not in that particular situation, there's obviously a nekuda to learn from that likewise, it says in the footnote, "Beis Hamedrash should be kalam b'meshach kol hayom." Bachor shenata yada milei bekelm. Sorry, Beis Hamedrash bekelm meshach kol hayom. Bachor shenata yada milei b'yad mayim b'nitila vor habacharav. It was a practice in the Beis Hamedrash and kelm throughout the day that if somebody wash their hands, that they would fill up the cup for the next person. So again, there's that sense, even if you're not in that particular situation, there's a sense of trying to fill up for the next person to go the extra mile there. Okay, we'll do one or two more. With regard to tefillah, hayachavero yashen, if somebody is sleeping, galulav or isman kriyash bashal shacharis, and such a person might miss the opportunity to say shema in the morning. So chova lahairo, you have an obligation to wake that person up. Afilu safek im yakum, even if you're not sure that person's going to wake up. V'odin sheyesh lakitzo kdei lishbo akadosh ulisbalo betzibor, elyam ken yodea bevada'u shehalo lo yakum lozman b'shum ofen. So assuming that a person would want to be woken up, so you have to wake up the person. If you're not entirely sure they're going to wake up, but in order to daven, in order to say shema on time, that's important. With parents, perhaps there's different considerations there. So it's going to cause somebody it's a general rule with tochacha. If your efforts are going to only cause a further enmity and adversity, so then it would not be appropriate to do so. But at the same time, even though, again, we try not to wake up people without necessity, but if a person especially would want to, is normally a person who wakes up to daven b'tzibur, to say shema on time, so one should do so. Mutzer li sa'ateh p'talis al-niach tefillin shel acher. You're allowed to put on a talis and tefillin of somebody else. Kasher im b'shum ofen efshar v'slukai b'sa mitzvos b'shelo. If you don't have any opportunity to use your own, then you can use someone else's. V'him nintayim b'veis ha'knesses b'sa medrash shel makom tzibur. If they're found in a public place, so the assumption is that people want other people to do a mitzvah. If you know that somebody perhaps is a germaphobe, or if they truly have OCD, so maybe that wouldn't be so smart. But a person who otherwise wouldn't mind, so you're allowed to use their items if you will not be able to obtain your own within the proper time. So b'nai she'en yadua shabali makpidim machziram osal mukom b'shemusam kapam kafishahayu. So this is, again, on the condition that, first of all, you have to know that the person's not going to mind, and also that you return them exactly where you found them, and the way you found them, folded as appropriate. Final halacha we'll do for now. Sidure tefila o'machzorim ha'nitzan b'veis ha'knesses b'makom tziburi. So if you have sidurim or machzorim that are found in shul, in public place, kayam na'ak shamshi b'hem aplik kabalas reshus b'na b'ilin. So you're allowed to use them even without the permission of somebody else. So if you know a person is makpid that he doesn't want you to use your siddur, so then you can't use it. But otherwise, if it's in a public place, so you can use it, of course, put it back. I'll do one more. I think it's a worthwhile one. He's probably not tzibur loyerich b'tfilasa yose midai. Somebody who's davening with the tzibur should not lengthen his tefillah too long. B'mei tarach tzibur, in order to not burden the community. This includes a shliach tzibur who takes too long to say there's tzibur shmona esrei. But I'm chashuv shemamtin lo shigmor tefillaso, or say the rabbi, the community, if you can't cause the community to be waiting extensively for him, if he's taking a long time with the Shemona Esrei, that's not proper. Or if there's only, let's say, 10 people, and that minion is makpid to only start Chazar Hashatz with all nine listening, let's say even if you're waiting for six, but the other four are going to take a The other five are going to take a very long time, so one has to be cognizant of what's needed for the tzibur in that regard.